Hi, and welcome back to Uncited, the internet's least reliable English lit podcast. I'm Chantel.
And I'm Amy.
And Amy is already yawning, so this is going to be a just strong energy podcast. This is the earliest we've recorded in a long time. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Bon année. Or as we say, ben année.
Ben année. Amy, how was your holidays?
My holidays were nice. My dad came down and visited us, and then we played video games, and June got groomed, so her paws are very cute.
Oh.
Yeah, my holidays were nice. How are yours?
My holidays were also very lovely. Most of our people are back home, so we had a lot of calls with them.
Yeah.
And our landlords invited us up for dinner at their place.
That's fun.
And I got way less drunk than I did last year.
Good.
Last year, they kept giving me wine and then also my partner, Ethan, wine. And Ethan doesn't really drink, so I was drinking both his and my drinks and they just kept filling them. And I was like, you know what would be a good idea instead of stopping and then finishing whatever is left at the end is if I just keep drinking them and then maybe this will stop. And then I was like, wow, that was so lovely. Thank you for having us. It was really nice to see you guys. I hope that you can come down to our place next time. We would love to host you. And then I walked down the stairs and then I fell on the ground and then I stayed there for half an hour.
Please come to the subpar unit in this household where we have foldy chairs. As kitchen chairs.
If you're lucky, you get to hear them squeak every time you move your booty. We will not be on the foldy chairs because we only have two of them. One of us will be on a rolly computer chair and the other one will be on a stool because that is what we do when we have four people over.
Uh-huh. Fun.
Yeah. So instead of that, we drink a normal amount of alcohol and we ate a normal amount of food and we had a really nice time.
It's good.
Yeah. So I hope y'all had good holidays too. And today we are jumping right back into it with like something I think that I read in school. I definitely read a Sherlock Holmes story in my Victorian literature class, which Amy was not in and therefore cannot help me.
Correct. I did read the first half of the first book in a bookstore once.
Okay. Unhinged behavior. You just stood there and read a book?
Yeah, well, I didn't know if I wanted to buy it, and I really should have because they're short and they're easy to read. But I was waiting to pick up Sam from work, and there was a bookstore right there, and I read it. And then Sam was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm like, I'm in the bookstore. And then he came to the bookstore, and then I was like, okay, ready to go home. And he's like, do you want these books? And I was like, no, I'll buy them later. That was before the pandemic.
Oh, God. Well, if you would like to read them in an easier format, Spotify has the unabridged versions of all the ones that I looked up. I don't know if it's all of them, but it's like the major ones. So what sounded familiar to me on the list was Hound of the Baskervilles. So I was like, okay, so I'll just quickly reread the short story, Hound of the Baskervilles. Reader, Hound of the Baskervilles is a 6-hour audiobook. So I did not do that because I did not read a novel of Sherlock Holmes in Victorian literature. So I can confirm that that was not the one that I read. And then I said, okay, well, A Scandal in Bohemia also sounds kind of familiar. I'll read that.
Fun fact, Bohemia is the previous name of the Czech Republic.
Yes, I know that actually because they mentioned Prague.
Fun.
In honor of the death of Bohemia, we have gathered here today for an impromptu salon where we're going to talk about Sherlock Holmes, A Scandal in Bohemia. Yeah, so I started listening to it and I was like, I don't know if this sounds familiar. And then I got to the end and I was like, I really don't think that that's the one that I read. So I don't know.
Chantel, I don't think you read this in any of your classes.
I'm kind of thinking maybe I don't know what I read. I don't know. And it doesn't matter, okay? Because this is what we're reading now.
Like, did you just watch Sherlock and then think you read it?
I think maybe what happened was we were talking about, okay, follow me on this train of thought.
Choo-choo.
We were talking about what if magic became the Sorcerer Supreme. The Sorcerer Supreme is Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is played by Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch was Sherlock Holmes in one of the TV adaptations of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was on the brain.
Correct.
I did not watch any Sherlock Holmes adaptations except Enola Holmes, which I want to talk about right now.
Which is very good.
I know, right? Maybe we should talk about that next time. Anyway. I definitely read a Sherlock Holmes story, and now I have read this one, and that's what we're talking about, and don't worry about it, okay? That's what this podcast is. I'm going to tell you about this story, all right? First, I want to tell you about the author. Arthur Conan Doyle was a Victorian writer. We've talked about Victorian literature. It's very sexist, okay? They did not care for women. Women were not just not allowed to own property. Women were the property, right?
Which is so weird because it's named after the queen of the time, Queen Victoria.
Was she married?
She was so married that, like, the death of her husband launched her into, like, profound grief.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's weird because we still do the traditions that came up from women being property. Like, the bride is given away by the father of the bride to the groom.
She's the reason we have white wedding dresses in Western tradition.
I feel like that's just more of a, like, show of wealth. I feel like it started as a show of wealth and then it became, like, a weird purity thing, like a weird virginity thing.
Yeah, I mean, she popularized it, so.
And she was very rich.
Yeah.
Renowned monarch, the queen, was very rich.
She might have been the richest woman in the world at the time.
Probably, because of all the colonialism. Anyway, Arthur Conan Doyle had some opinions about women that come out in the text. I'm not sure how the text feels about women. I would like to describe the story to you, and then I would like to pose that question to you, because I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But first, have you heard of the Enola Holmes lawsuit?
No.
So apparently, when the Enola Holmes Netflix series came out, which was based on a book, the Arthur Conan Doyle estate was like, oh, hold on. This is a thing that exists in the world that we didn't notice before. And they are using Sherlock. Sherlock is in the public domain, but only one iteration of Sherlock is in the public domain. The iteration of Sherlock that's in the public domain is the original Sherlock from the early stories, where he is very cold, calculating, mm-hmm. He doesn't have a lot of emotion or empathy. Yeah. And the Sherlock that is in the later stories is like a much warmer human character.
Okay.
And so that's why you see Sherlock always being like very cold and calculated, is because they're basing that on the version of Sherlock that's in the public domain. Enola Holmes had Sherlock in it, but that Sherlock was like better at social cues. The estate was like, hey, you can't use this version of Sherlock. That version of Sherlock is not in the public domain yet. And they brought it to court, and the judge was like, I just really don't think you can trademark empathy, and dismiss the case. So you can use any Sherlock you want now.
Ooh. That's funny.
So this is one of the earlier stories where he's like, just, he is certainly something. I had forgotten that they were from the perspective of Watson.
Right.
So the story started describing Sherlock and how he felt about Irene Adler. And I was like, oh, this story has very strong opinions about this. No, it's Watson. Every opinion is Watson. So it starts off, he's talking about Irene Adler and how Sherlock just calls her the woman. She is the only woman to him. He's not in love with her because love, and of course any other emotion, is abhorrent to him, but he does respect her.
Can't trademark empathy.
So Watson goes over to Sherlock's house.
As bros do.
Some would say homies.
Some might, yes.
I think Watson sure would like to lock lips with his homie. Mm-hmm. So Watson goes over to Sherlock's house, even though Sherlock negs him all day long. He walks in, Sherlock's like, oh, Watson, you look terrible. Have you gained 7.5 pounds since I saw you last? Which, first of all, I would hate so much if I had a friend like that.
I wouldn't be friends with someone like that.
But also, how does he know that?
Like, I'd be like, you are triggering my eating disorder. Thank you, goodbye.
Sherlock is like, did you walk through a bunch of mud and then fire your boot cleaner? And Watson's like, yes, can you just stop? And Sherlock's like, well, your boots are clean, but they had scuff marks on them from where someone cut them. So it's as if you had walked through mud and then someone aggressively cleaned them. Obviously, because I deduced it.
You're guessing.
That is not what deductive reasoning is. It is a informed guess based on inductive reasoning. We took modes of reasoning.
Shout out to Tony.
Shout out, Tony. Deductive reasoning is something that has to be necessarily true.
Correct.
So Sherlock's like, I got this letter. It's like, please keep this confidential and don't show anybody. Anyway, here's the letter in its entirety, Watson, my best friend.
Okay, us.
Who I trust implicitly and explicitly, because I just said it. So he hands Watson the letter. He's like, what do you get from this letter? The letter is like, I have have a very secret case for you. It needs to be confidential. I'm going to show up at this time of night. I might be wearing a mask, and don't tell anybody. And also be home. And also, I got word that you were really good with high profile cases. And this is the most high profile ever, 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 ever. And I know you work with the queen, and this is on par with that. And it's like, okay, well, this is like a nobleman royalty thing.
Sure.
Watson takes the paper and he's like, well, the writer of this paper must be very wealthy because the paper is thick. It's like, I think the writer might be very wealthy because he said that the case was on par with the case you did for the queen. But sure.
Sure.
Supporting evidence. We love to see it.
Good enough.
Give us your hamburger essay, Watson. And then Sherlock's like, okay, well, I held this paper up to the light and I saw that there was like a little stamp with some letters on it and that the letters are from this Bohemian paper company and the sentence structure of the person who wrote it is very Germanic. So it's a German person writing on Bohemian paper because this could not be English paper. I'm like, okay, so good you know that. And then the guy shows up at the door, he's wearing a mask and he's like, my name is this fake made up name. And Sherlock's like, cool, fake made up name.
Slim Shady. Gotcha. Yeah.
My name's Slim Shady. And Sherlock's like, yes, I absolutely believe that your name is Slim Shady. And then the guy's like, hey, my name's not actually Slim Shady. That was a lie. And Sherlock's like, yeah, I know. Okay, your majesty, what would you like from us? And he takes off the mask. He's like, I admit it. I am the king of Bohemia.
Okay.
So it's the king of Bohemia. The king of Bohemia wants to charge Sherlock with retrieving this photograph of him, the king, with a woman named Irene Adler because he thinks that she is going to ruin him.
Oh, women ruining men all the time. It's always our fault. What can't we do?
They had a very intense relationship. Now the king is going to marry this Dutch princess and she is very proper and if he had even a hint of scandal on him, she would call the wedding off and he wants to marry their two families.
Sure.
So he's like, I need the photograph back. We've tried to get it back by like breaking into her house, by like detaining her during travel. She doesn't keep it on her. We haven't found it in the house. You need to find it. And Sherlock's like, okay, we'll do that. I'm very confident that I can. See you later. Give me a bunch of money. So then he goes to stake out Irene Adler. He sees her get into a little cab and he gets in a cab after her. He chases her down to like a chapel. He sees her go in. He kind of gets dragged into the chapel to witness her marriage.
Okay.
They're like, do you swear that this couple is going to be loyal and true to each other? He's like, yes, absolutely. I know that is the case because of how well I know them. And then he finds out that they were going to get married kind of on the fly and they needed a witness.
Okay.
And the only alternative was the groom was going to have to like go out onto the street and start like grabbing people, which is what my parents had to do.
Uh-huh.
They had to grab two people off the street to be their witnesses at their wedding. But yeah, so he comes back and he's like, okay, so I know where she lives. I know she's married now. I'm going to get her to show me where the picture is in her house. And Watson's like, absolutely, you are not going to do that. That is not the case.
Yeah.
Sherlock's like, just you wait. He puts on a little disguise. He gives Watson this series of instructions and makes him repeat it back where Watson's supposed to like stand there, not do anything when this big kerfuffle is going on. And then he's supposed to throw something in the window that Sherlock gives him, yell fire, and go wait on the corner of the street.
Okay. That's too much instructions for Watson.
Watson is fine with the instructions. Watson is a smart man. Watson is a doctor.
That means nothing. I'm a woman. I should know.
Sherlock comes out in this costume of like a benevolent clergyman. His entire manner changes. Watson says the stage lost a great actor, just as science lost a great reasoner when Sherlock decided to pursue an interest in crime. Oh, I forgot to mention, when the king came in, the king was like, can this guy leave? And Sherlock was like, it's both of us or none of us. So Sherlock does nag Watson, but he throws him just enough of a bone that Watson's like, oh man, I wish he would bone me on a throat, you know? So So Watson is just like obsessed with Sherlock. So he's like constantly complimenting how smart and good at everything Sherlock is. He goes, he sees Irene Adler arrive at her house in a cab or something. There's two kids that go up to her and start fighting to open the door for her. And then a cop comes and takes one kid's side, and then a glassblower or something comes and takes the other kid's side. And then Sherlock runs in there, smacks his chest. There's blood running down his chest. And then someone's like, oh no, he tried to help this poor innocent clergyman. The kids would have mugged her. They were going to take her coat. They're from a gang. And now he's injured. What a brave man. And then he starts like breathing, and they're like, oh, thank goodness he's alive. He must be taken inside. And Irene's like, of course, take him inside. So he gets taken inside. He's laying on the couch like, oh, my chest. He gives like a little signal to Watson or whatever. Watson throws this smoke bomb into the window. It starts smoking. He's like, fire. And everyone runs up. They're like, fire, fire. And then he runs to the corner. Sherlock meets him, and he's like, did you get what you needed? I can't imagine that you would have. And Sherlock's, yes, I got exactly what I needed.
Saw the photo though.
I know exactly where the photo is now.
Oh.
Yeah, he got the location of the photo, and they're going to go back and get the photo.
Not the photo itself.
Sherlock's reasoning is that women are naturally secretive.
Fair.
So, of course, she's keeping the photo in the house. She would never trust someone else with the photo.
Doubt, but okay.
Because that's how women are.
Uh-huh. As if we don't share everything with each other. Okay.
Well, she would never give it to, like, a banker in a safe deposit box or a lawyer. So, he says, when there's a fire, people run for their most important possession.
Sure.
A married woman will run for her baby because, you know, all married women have babies.
I have June.
An unmarried woman will run for her jewelry box because, you know, all women are vain and vapid.
Well, I think it's because it's expensive.
I mean, sure. My jewelry is less expensive.
Sure.
But sure, whatever. We're just doing stereotypes. This is why I don't think his deductive reasoning is sound, is because he relies on stereotypes a lot. He has a lot of opinions, and he's like, well, these are just the facts. Women are secretive, you know, women stuff.
Yeah.
So when the smoke was coming in and everyone was yelling fire, she ran for this like portrait in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the photograph was hidden behind a portrait in like a hole in the wall. So they're gonna go back and they're gonna get that.
Because she couldn't have ran for like a priceless portrait that isn't replicable or anything. That couldn't be the thing she wanted to save instead.
No, that's foolishness.
Okay.
And the picture was behind there, which we find out later.
Fine.
So they're back on Baker Street. The king shows up. He's like, did you find the photograph? They're like, yes, we know exactly where it is. We're going to go get it tomorrow. And then a letter shows up. It's from Irene Adler. It's like, oh, I knew that there was something suspicious about you as soon as the fire thing happened. I know what an actor looks like because I am trained in acting, and I was warned about you, Sherlock Holmes. So as soon as I saw you disappear after the fire thing happened, and I knew I'd given away the location of my photograph, I followed you to Baker Street, and I saw your office, and it said Office of Sherlock Holmes on it, and I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna move that photograph, and you're also never gonna see me again. I'm running away. I still have the photo. The king is a major fuckboy.
Well, yeah.
I'm only keeping the photo to protect myself. I don't want to release it because I have a husband who I love very much.
Her husband of 2 days?
My husband of 2 days, who I love very much,
cool.
Who we got married in secret and had no guests at our wedding.
Except for Sherlock.
We're in love. I don't want him to find out about this, but I do want to protect myself from the fuckboy king. Goodbye forever. And the king's like, oh, see, she would have made such a wonderful queen if only she was of my class. If only she was on my level, we would have been married. And Sherlock's like, yes, from what I have seen of the woman, she is indeed on a very different level than your majesty.
Shade thrown.
I do love the shade. The king, like, he really is into her. He says she had the face of the most beautiful woman and the mind of the most resolute man, which is a very sexist way to say that. But I do think that, like, he recognizes that she is special. Ugh. I'm just so annoyed every time something like this comes up, because they're like, all women are so dumb and stupid, except Irene Adler. She's like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Because she wouldn't be worthy if she wasn't.
Yeah, of course. And she outreasons Sherlock. So it does a lot of sexist stereotypes about women. Then it says that she is like a man. Then she is able to outreason Sherlock. Oh, and the king's fine with it in the end because he says that she's given her word and her word is true. So he's like happy with the outcome, which would have happened anyway without Sherlock's intervention at all. He just wouldn't have known about it.
Sure.
So that's how I feel about it. How do you think that this text is about women? Like, it's not great.
It's not. Like, it plays on this trope of, like, the women who are only worthy because they have manly qualities, so to speak.
Yeah. It plays on the, like, not like other girls thing.
Yeah.
It's like, as a rule, as a general rule of thumb, women are dumb, dumb idiots.
Yeah.
But Irene Adler is not like other girls. She is the woman.
Yeah. Like, she hangs out with all the guys because she can't make friends with girls.
She knows how to use her brain, unlike other women who just run for their jewelry box.
So she has a self-preservation bone in her body. Good for her. Like, tell me you've never met another woman.
I know, right? Honestly, it does seem like Sherlock doesn't talk to a lot of other women.
People?
I think he only seems to talk to Watson and then people for his cases. He's got like this book at some point where he's like, Watson, have I heard of Irene Adler? Go find out in my book that I keep of all the people, locations, and things that I've ever heard mentioned in conversation that I've filed away in a file folder with everything I know about each of them. Please go look up Irene Adler. And Watson's like, yes, you do know her address.
That seems so exhausting.
He seems like an emotionally exhausting, spiritually challenging person to be friends with.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, like, versions of Sherlock in which Sherlock is very, like, autistically coded.
Mm.
But also, he's kind of, like, just a jerk.
Yeah. You can be neurodivergent, case in points.
Yeah.
And not be a jerk. Well, and I feel like...
I'm a jerk.
No.
Sometimes.
You're just a sweet little babby. I feel like it is problematic when people look at media and they're like, yeah, all these people are the people who are coded autistic and they're all jerks.
Because media thinks that autistic people don't know how to people.
When really, there are so many brands of neurodivergence that it's impossible to paint everyone with the same brush.
They opened the DSM-5. Which is, like, a problem in the first place. And they go, well, this is what they tell me they should be like, so let's do that. And then they go, well, that doesn't make a person really, like, fun to be around. But they don't realize it's not like those symptoms are at 100 for everyone all of the time.
A little bit of everything all of the time.
I don't know. There's, like, a whole essay to be done there. And, like, I really got fed up with Tumblr for a while about how, like, they were always like, oh, Sherlock, like, he's autistic. Cute. It's like,
what do you mean cute, buddy? That's so patronizing.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Sherlock as a character is either treated as a jerk or as a sweet cinnamon roll that doesn't know what he's doing. He knows so much what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He's very smart. He is a jerk. And he's also a little bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
I think Sherlock is the perfect example of how there are different types of intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, he has a very strong reasoning intelligence. He has a very strong memory intelligence. He has very low social skill intelligence.
Yeah, because he doesn't have time for it.
While the king is talking to him, he literally, like, lies back in his chair and closes his eyes. He's like, go on. Like, he doesn't abide by social norms at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I brought to us today. Would you like more Sherlock, Amy?
Well, I mean, I should probably finish that one book I read half of in a bookstore that one time.
What book?
I don't know, the first one. Maybe it was this one.
Maybe it was The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Maybe.
Because that's the most popular one.
It probably was.
Well, I mean, I found it on Spotify. So if you want to do that, let me know. If you want to hear us talk about more Sherlock, let us know.
We'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. You can find us at UncitedPod on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. You can let us know. We will do it. And I think that's everything for us today. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a short one.
That's okay.
On a scale of blackmailing the king of Bohemia to having a smoke bomb thrown through your window, how would you rate this story?
Which one's one and which one's 10?
Yes.
Okay. being friends with a doctor who can, like, tell me what's wrong with me when I'm having anxiety crisis.
Ooh, okay.
Like, probably useful, but also probably bad at ethics.
Do you think Watson is bad at ethics?
Oh, 100%.
He's like, yeah, I'll throw a smoke bomb through a window. I took the Hippocratic Oath, but this is not doing harm.
I'm pretty sure Watson is, like, friends with Sherlock because he's like, interesting medical case. Get thee to Bedlam?
Oh, it's like that scene in, it's like that scene in Brooklyn Nine-Nine where Rosa walks up to a bunch of professors. She's like, what do you do? Boring. What do you do? Abnormal psychology? Gina, can you come over here for a sec? And they all, like, all the psychologists study Gina and they're like, that's so fascinating. What are you thinking right now? She's like, I'm thinking I would make the perfect president based on my ruthlessness and dance skills.
And then she calls herself the Paris of people.
And when she was born, her mother cried because she knew she would never be better than her.
Yeah, that's at Captain Holt's birthday party in season one, I think.
Very good. Yeah, I could see Watson having started the friendship because Sherlock was like a case study.
Yeah.
And then continuing the friendship because he was like, I don't know, this has awakened something in me and I'm not sure what it is.
There.
Because I don't think Sherlock has any feelings for Watson. And I think the way that Watson comforts himself about that is by saying that Sherlock, of course, could never feel love. All emotion is abhorrent to him. Maybe Watson is an unreliable narrator in that because he's just convincing himself.
100%. My God, Watson is the worst narrator. And that's saying a lot, considering other narrators.
He's both hyping up how smart and cool Sherlock is because he has a crush on him, but he's also hyping down how much Sherlock could have the capacity for, like, feeling,
mm-hmm.
because he's trying to convince himself that Sherlock couldn't like him because he has a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my explanation of Sherlock's characterization for now. I would rate this jumping in a hansom cab to have a shotgun wedding on your lunch hour.
Fair.
It's just like a quick and easy little time, kind of fun, kind of chaotic. Sometimes you need to grab someone off the street to talk to them about it. Just a nice little time.
And then you're married.
And then you're married and then you can go back to work.
Bada bing.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
But yeah, I think that's everything for today.
Agreed.
Thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year. And we hope to see you in 2 weeks.
And as always, we're excited and available.
What are you doing?
My best.
Are you looking up syllabi?
Bitch, you know that I am.